All right, we're ready. So far it looks good. A blank screen is always a good start, isn't it, for us? I want to begin this morning and ask, you know, before I begin, I want to say this morning, what I talk about this morning, think of your own heart. Nobody else's heart is important, only yours. Avoid thinking, no, if so-and-so was here, they could really do with this message. If they're not here, they don't need it. Is that all right? But you're here, and I'm here. And if they really need it, the Lord will, they can connect another time on the web if they need it. So don't think about, this is be very good for somebody else. It could be good for us. I can't guarantee you, but at least start with that. I want to begin then with simply this. The expression, that did my heart good. You often hear it, and people have many ways of saying it, and there's many different causes of doing that. It can be any number of things. But you hear something that, and what people say is, man, was it good? It was good, and it did my heart good. It means it was very fulfilling. It touched us at the very core of our being, and we're all familiar with that expression. Maybe not that exact words, but the expression we are. So I want to ask this morning, then with this. What does your heart good? It's a great question. There isn't just one answer, because there's several different hearts here and several different things. So what does your heart good? Another way of saying this, very similar. What do you hope for? Or what do you look forward to? That may help you in answering the question, what does your heart good? Sometimes, what are you looking forward to? What are you hoping for? Etc., etc. And there's many answers, but I'll put up a few here. You may better identify with one or two at least. For some people, it's this. That's me. What do you hope for? What do you look forward to? Fun and enjoyment. Number one. Spiritual encounters come way down the list. Okay. Fun and enjoyment. That's what does my heart good. Lots of fun, lots of enjoyment. You can never get enough of it. That's one thing. All right. For other people, it could be this. Rest and relaxation. What are you looking forward to? I'm looking forward to some time off to relax. Chill. Use whatever language you want. For others then, especially this time of the year, it could be time off and holidays. Oops. How many times have you said, I'm really looking to do time off. I'm ready to relax, chill, you know. And some of those things do those people's hearts good. Would you agree? No, we maybe haven't got to yours yet. So, I put in a few more then. A meal out. It has to be a good meal, of course, but a meal out. Say, I enjoyed that. I don't know if you can say, a meal out that did my heart good. It might do your stomach good. It might do your pockets some harm, but it's another story. A meal out. Maybe this is another one. A concert or a film. I'm looking forward to go to hear, I'm looking forward to go to see. And maybe if there's a concert, you say, gosh, that was great, it did my heart. For the lads, it could be this. A match. I'm looking forward to the match on Saturday. And it's a great feeling if the team wins. But that is at a basic level, and that's what does your heart good to some extent. No, I may not have included your thing there. But at a deeper level, if you were to ask people out there, indeed, it would be some of these things. For instance, what would do your heart good? What are you looking forward to? For some people, it would be simply this. Oh, first of all, before I go there, I wanted to ask a question. How do you react when what you had hoped for doesn't work out? There ain't no fun, there ain't no enjoyment. The rest and relaxation, somebody wrecked it. There was a bit of a crisis. Time off? I was better off. I had more time when I was working. Now that I'm off, it is even worse. Things can go pear-shaped. The meal out, I was looking forward to, the thing was cold. Half raw. The concert. The sound man was in a different planet. All I could hear was boom, boom. We've been at concerts like that. The film, disappointing. The match, desperate. No, we've all experienced that, haven't we? And that's the level of disappointment. You with me? And there's no getting around that. Nobody has lived in this planet without experiencing death. Hopefully you won't experience any of that today. Maybe today will be a sacred day where we can avoid some of it at least. So, but how do you react? What does it do? It does something to our heart. It does something to our emotions, doesn't it? We are affected by it to varying degrees. But that's it. We say the basic level. You can go a level below that. That is even harder. You talk to some people and you say, what do you look forward to? I look forward to a home. I would love to have a home. Some people say that and they're actually homeless. They're living in hotels. For other people, what they'll say is, what do you hope for? What do you look forward to? What would do your heart good? It simply say this. I'd like a partner to share my life with. That's what I would like. To others, they'd say, I simply like a job. I'd like to get up in the morning and have somewhere to go and something to do. For others, what you hope for, they'd say, I wish I had good health. If I had good health, I could aim for a job. And if I had a job, maybe I could get a partner. And if I could get a partner, maybe we could get a house. Then, other people, you'd ask them, and I'd get this answer a lot, what do you hope for? They would say, divine intervention. Divine intervention, so the Lord gave me a bit of good health. Divine intervention, so he gave me the job, the partner, and possibly the home. So how do you react when what you'd hope for doesn't work out at that level? Divine intervention hasn't kicked in as yet. Now you'll be saying, does he have a verse to hang this on? I have. Of course I have a verse. And I'll see if it's on this file or if it's on the next one. But it's somewhere anyway. We'll see in a minute. There it is. Proverbs 13, verse 12. And I even put up the page number. But since you're all Bible scholars, you already know what it is. But I won't test your faith this morning. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I have a friend of mine, lives in a different country, and she rings me, psychiatrist, I think, is what she is. And she asked me, how am I? And I'd say, hope deferred, that makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I'll ring you tomorrow. A word of prayer, and then we'll see if we make sense of this. Lord, we thank you for everything that has been said, everything that has been sung, and prayed for this day. Our prayer now is that as we listen, that something in this talk, Lord, will be of benefit to us all. Maybe a comment that is just said. Whatever it is, Lord, we acknowledge that it's by your Spirit that anything that happens, Lord, happens to us. Any insight is because of your mercy and your grace. Pray your anointing on me and all who hear. All God's people said, so, I don't know, are you familiar with this thing? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So, the question is, what happens when hope is deferred? Deferred, of course, means it is postponed. What happens when hope is deferred? So I looked at a few different versions to see if they could give any kind of a hint to us. So, well, the NIV obviously gives us the first one, you know, which is hope deferred makes the heart sick. No, we're familiar with that because you have people saying is, you know, I was sick to the core. Just make my heart sick. You've heard some of that. So we can understand some of it. So that's what the NIV says. I found another version then says simply this. Hope that is delayed makes you sad. Now, we can identify that much easier. You're looking forward to something. It doesn't happen in your time. You might say that I'm not sick, but you could say, it's not, that thing has made me really sad. I don't know if you can identify with that. Another version simply says this: unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick. If the thing goes on and on and on, it has a way of wearing you down, of wearing you know, makes me sick to the very core. Does that make sense? It's a lot more disappointment. Disappointment you can get over in a day. Two, you know, the way something goes pear-shaped, and you can get over it and you move on. No. This is at a much deeper level. Another version I just put up before says this: when hope is crushed, the heart is crushed. Do you know you cannot live without hope? If hope goes, it's almost impossible to exist mentally and emotionally for any extended period of time. So when hope is crushed, the heart is crushed. It depends at what level. No, you know what I mean? If it's just a bad meal, you get over, or not a great concert, you know, you move on, because there are other concerts, there's other meals. But if this is something you're really looking forward to, and something that really matters to your heart, and it doesn't come, and you wait here a long time, and it seems to go on and on, there's no sign of it, it does affect us. Maybe it doesn't affect you, but it certainly affects me. Anyway. Hope deferred. That's the first part of it. So hope deferred makes the heart sick. And why? Why is that? What happens? What causes it really? Is what the question I was asking. What causes that? What causes hope to go in the first place? And there's many causes. I just put up a few, and you may agree or disagree, but at least I think this is some of it. I think sometimes it is possible to end up with that feeling of being just crushed to spirit, and this can be simply sometimes due to something this calls selfishness. Sometimes selfishness can actually cause it. Sometimes even our own selfishness can cause it. Not always, but sometimes. Sometimes, you know, hope deferred is simply, and it doesn't happen, but it doesn't happen simply because it is. Sometimes people can be very self-centered and self-absorbed. It's not always, but it can be. We've all met people where the world revolves around them. I'm not saying for a minute anyone's like this here, but I'm just saying it is a bifactor. So selfishness can be self-centered. One of the great difficulties, though, when hope is deferred, is this. This is a major battle. Not everyone wins this. It's very easy to get into the stage of self-pity. I don't say that critical of anyone. I'm just saying is it very easy happens. When you're crushed, you say, woe is me. And there's a certain amount of woe in us. I mean, don't get me wrong. A certain amount of woe is justified. But I can get to the stage of where, you know, we're worn, and we never get any further. And in actual fact, it's self-destructive. So why does it happen? Sometimes self-centeredness, self-pity. Sometimes it's God's way of getting at us. To get our attention. No? When it's your attention, it's for good, but it can happen that way. But it's also possible to end up like that. Hope deferred, due to the sin of others. Others can actually help you, but they're not interested. Selfishness gets in the way. Sometimes people are so consumed with themselves, they don't even see your need. And so self-centeredness can blind. And then others, they just give you a lecture of the snap out of it. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get on with the program. And of course, it makes things even worse. deferred. I looked at the Bible commentary last night. R.T. Kendall says, you know, when you have the sermon done, look to make sure that you're somewhere on track. And God knows, I think I'm thereabouts, right? Deferred does not imply a reversing of what was promised, but literally something long drawn out. When the Bible says hope deferred, it means is it's going to be a long, long time coming, as the song says. Anyone can wait for a week, for a month, a year or two, but after that, hope begins to drop. And it gets harder and harder and harder. And the longer it takes, and the more it takes out of you, the more it impacts our heart and our emotions. But it doesn't mean that what is promised has been reversed. It simply means it's going to take an awful lot longer than we had thought. So far, are you still with me? Well, before I go there, now I asked you at the very beginning, what does your heart good? Now, you all know, because, you know, a man of my insight, I have 2 days a year to fill my heart. Foolish. Other lads have nearly 360 days. I have 2 days. Birthday, Christmas Day. The problem with it is that if the birthday gets smoked up, I have to wait a whole year for it to come around. I'm in trouble. If Christmas gets smoked up, Christmas only comes what? Once a year. That's my time for filling. That's where hope goes in. If that thing is pulled from me or I muck it up, I'm in trouble because I have a whole year to wait for it. No, I don't say that to make anyone feel guilty, and that's not the purpose of how I'm just saying is, when I was looking is, when my hope goes and it gets deferred, it does cause discouragement. And when the things that you want to make it work, and it doesn't work, you're in trouble. You're in serious trouble. Because what you need within you to make it work is not there. And yet you've got to go out and do the job. No, it's the same for everyone. It's just that people fill themselves in different ways. That's the reason why I asked you in the beginning, what does your heart good? No, that's fine at a human level, but let's say God is pulling the strings, and in his sovereignty, he's mucking things up, and we can say on occasions, humanly speaking, and he's deferring the hope, and he's pulling it back, and you still have to go on. Then you're in a different ballgame altogether. You're now having words with Jesus. Hope deferred, Jesus, makes the heart sick. A longing fulfilled, Jesus, is a tree of life. Do you get the message? I don't want to be subtle about it. An awful lot of people struggle with this. No, that wouldn't be as brutally honest as I am with Jesus, of course, but nevertheless, they would blame him up to a point. But this what I'm describing here is something that is part of all of our lives to varying extents, and we've all had it. And maybe you have it right now, and you're living with it. Something you're hoping for and hasn't come through. A longing that you have, and you've waited and you've wasted. And there's still no sign of it. God is able to pull it off, but he's not willing to do it. Yet anyway. All the Christians say is, they'll give you all the advice. But they know that advice is wonderful for you, it's absolutely useless to them. When they're in the mess. It's of no advantage. It's great when you give it to somebody else, but when you actually take your own advice, it's just sickening. If you haven't been deferred already and haven't been sick, that advice will sink you further anyway, because you already know it's coming. So hope deferred. Anyway, that's the negative side. We'll go to the positive side. Is that all right? And see if we can put something out of this. Maybe that will help us. A longing fulfilled. Well, there we are. No, I live for that. Many other things. A longing fulfilled. It says this is 13, 12b. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Now, we don't use that expression, but we'll come to it in a minute, right? So to see if there was anything else that could give us a bit of guidance in it. A longing fulfilled, but a wish that comes true fills you with joy. Now, who is in the market for that? That's what I want for the better. That's what I want for Christmas. Admittedly, Christmas is 6 weeks long. You know, the run into the better used to be a month at least. You know, so we're talking 12 weeks here. But who doesn't want joy? If that's goal, sign me up. Would you agree? A longing fulfilled that will bring you joy. Who wouldn't want it? Anyway, next one says this. But a sudden good break can turn life around. You're in the doldrums and something happens that gives you a splurt. And that can make a huge difference. Would you agree? Man, a lucky break. We can understand that. You turn the corner and you know things change and man, you're upbeat all of a sudden. So we understand the emotion and the thinking behind it. Another version says this. But wishes that come true are like eating fruit from the tree of life. We have no idea what that means. Some of you don't even eat fruit. And if you do eat fruit, you get it from Tesco or Lidl or somewhere. You're certainly not getting it from the tree of life, are you? So we'll look at that in a minute. We'll see what the heck that means. But we're looking for the longing. So I think most people are looking for something of that in life. Would you agree? And us included. Us included. Unless you're completely contented like the Apostle Paul. And if you are, God bless you. But we're always looking for something to be filled. Or a certain amount of fulfillment. We know it's not perfect, but at least we have it. Now, tree of life. I give you the expression here. We found this, right? It's used here psychologically, meaning the reviving of drooping spirits. So if it says a longing fulfilled is a tree of life, it means that internally something changes in your spirit and that where there was weariness and a certain amount of hopelessness or despair, the thing has lifted and your drooping spirit has been lifted up. So a longing fulfilled can literally change you from the inside. It can pick you up and move you along. You know what I'm saying? A lease of life is what we call it. That person's got a new lease of life. That's the idea behind the reading. Does that make sense? Something happened, gives you a splurt on your go, a new lease of life. So far, so good. I've been thinking about this for about 2 years, you know. But then it only came to me. But how do we fix it? Hope deferred makes the heart sad. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So where I go with all of these things is I bring it back to Jesus. Eventually, you've got to go back to Jesus with this, right? And the problem going back to him is not alone do you always like what he says, you might not even always agree with it. No, you are much more spiritual than I am, and I know you'll just say, yes, Jesus, you are all wise. So be it done according to your will. But I'd say, no, Jesus, steady on there for a minute. Is this what you're actually telling me here? Is this what it's like? So, hope deferred makes the heart sick. A longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And here I have in front of me a red hen. And I know you'll say, is that poor man needs a break? He has slipped. It's the new blood in him since the hospital. So, what does one do when hope is deferred and it has impacted you and the longing is not being fulfilled? Because that's where many people have to live at some stage. Does that make sense? Hopefully not all the stage. But you're at that in-between stage. You have a hope, but it's been deferred. And how do you do that? You're desperately wanting somebody to fix it. Does that make sense? Who can help me with this? Then I've got this advice several times from different people. I've got other advice, and at the end of the day, it's still boiled down to the same thing. And so, yesterday morning, I woke up, and the Lord reminded me of this. The little red hen. For those, it's a long time now since you've heard this story. So I have modified it and changed it a small bit. This used to be my mother's saying. The little red hen. Allow me to read it out. This is profound wisdom for you. I turn it up the right way and we'll start. Once upon a time, there was a little red hen who lived on a farm. Early one morning, she woke up and went outside. Then she found some corn. "Who will help me plant the corn?" said the little red hen. "Not I," said the bull.
"Not I," said the cat. "Not I," said the rat. "Well, very well, I'll do it myself," said the little red hen.
And so she did. Time passed. "Who will help me grind the corn?" said the little red hen. "Not I," said the bull.
"Not I," said the cat.
"Not I," said the rat. "Oh, very well, I will do it myself," said the little red hen, and so she did. "Who will help me to bake the cake?" said the little red hen.
"Not I," said the bull. "Not I," said the cat.
"Not I," said the rat. "Oh, very well, I will do it myself," said the little red hen, and so she did. "Who will help me to eat the bread?" said the little red hen. "I will," said the bull. "I will," said the cat. "I will," says the rat. "Oh, no, you won't. I will eat it all myself," said the little red hen, and so she did. The little red hen. Who is going to help you when hope is deferred and the longing is not fulfilled? "I'll do it myself," says the little red hen. Most people are left to their own devices at that stage. And I don't know if you have found yourself at that place and you hear that advice, you're just going to have to do it yourself. And it's the very last thing you want to hear. Because you're drained. You desperately need something to be put in. But there's nobody willing to put it in. So you have to do it yourself. Like the little red hen. Does that make sense? That was the story that the Lord said. My mother always said this. When she'd want us to do something that we didn't want to do, but we wanted to earn the benefits. "I'll do it myself," says the little red hen. If you got that shot, first of all, it meant is that whatever came as a result, you weren't going to be in it. That was your first warning shot of it. What I'm saying is, and this is what I have learned, and the Lord has been showing me this for a while. There's a huge difference in people, and we're all different. But if you need to fill yourself, and you're with somebody who needs a top-up, and you're both doing the same thing, the person who needs a top-up is finished much quicker than you. Have you noticed that? So, for instance, let's say I brought a bunch of people to a concert. And the concert was part of what was filling me. Who's sitting alongside me doesn't matter or rip to me. God bless you. Do I need to speak to you? Absolutely not. Not until the break. The thing that matters is, who's performing? Can I hear? Can I see? Have I the best advantage, visually and audibly, so I can hear and see? And how good is the band? And someone says, "Well, I'll go, but you know, it's not really my kind of music." Thank you very much. But guess what? Stay at home. You know why? Because I need a fill-up. All you need is a top-up. Does that make sense? Now, we all have that. We all have that. Another example, walking. I made huge mistakes in these things. The Lord was correcting me as I go along. I can walk, pray, think, listen to all kinds of jokes. I brought people on walks to discover only 3 years later, they never wanted to walk in the first place. They just wanted coffee. Here I am trying to feed myself, and here's the lads just looking for coffee. I'll do it myself, says the little red hen. Do you know, I go for walks and I never think of coffee. Who wants coffee for a walk? Different ballgame altogether. So if you're there and you're trying to fill yourself and other lads have any different agenda, you're absolutely mucked up. No, it's not their fault, because they're on a different thing altogether. So I was driving down to a gig a few weeks ago. We were going to my niece's wedding, you knew that. And but I went down on the Friday, right? And I was going to a gig, and this is when the Lord spoke to me. He said, Pat, you have to do certain things yourself, because there's nobody who is going to fill you, only yourself. No, he's not saying that badly. I think it's the truth for everyone. There are some things that you've got to do for yourself. It'd be great to have others to do it with you. Like, I used to love going down to Make, and we go to the gigs, you know, and we go to Peony Court, first of all, and then we go to the gig, and we'd analyze the gig, and we'd have some coffee and scones, and chat up off-duty members of a Godish economy. There are all kinds of jokes, and I loved all of it, but that day has come and gone, because Make is not able to do the gigs. But the last thing we need is for someone to go to a gig who is just keeping me company. I don't need company. I need somebody who enjoys it as much as I do, and preferably more. And if you don't, God bless you. May you have a great time doing something else. So I was going out to the gig anyway. Here's what I was doing. And I want to describe the situation to you, and you'll say, I'm so glad I wasn't with you. First of all, if you're traveling in my car, you're traveling in a sauna. I like heat. If you don't like heat, you're in the wrong car, right? Secondly, right? Sometimes it was jazz. This time I was listening to a female country actress that I was going to see, actually. I was just getting myself tanked up for the situation. And I listened to that for almost an hour. And then I listened to a tape of Martin Lloyd Jones. Now, how many people here would like to be in the car with me, roasting hot, country music, followed by Martin Lloyd Jones? How many people would like to join me? No hands. I had a wonderful time. One of the best sermons I've had in my life, I heard that day. One of the best sermons ever, I heard that day. And the top of the country music got me going. I went to the gig on my own. No, I got to gigs with Finola and got to gigs with other people, obviously. I went on my own. It made no difference to me what the person alongside thought or in front of me. I was just there. And there for myself. And I got a certain amount of top up. But the hardest thing to do is to do it by yourself. That is one of the hardest things to do. Because if you're there for others, and you know, and you see that your own family, or you're there for your friends and all that, when you need the help is not necessarily there. It can be there, but it mightn't be forthcoming. Does that make sense? And you're sinking. And then you go and you pay somebody a heap of money, and they'll say, actually, thank you very much, but you need to do most of this by yourself. You're kicking yourself. I didn't pay any money, at least I went to Jesus and I got the little red hen. Can you imagine? All right. So it is self-motivation. You've got to motivate yourself. Very hard to do when you're down. But it's the key to it. So, hence the reason asked, what does your heart good? You've got to go and do that. All right. Tree of life. At the simplest level, it's a kind of a gracious figure of God's source of renewal, temporal and spiritual. This is my finish name, right? When you're down like that and hope is deferred, and it has impacted your heart, and the longing is not being fulfilled, God is with you in it. He won't let you down in that situation. He could do more if the truth be known, but whatever he is doing, at whatever level he is doing it, at least you have this. And I discovered this, right? So here's the questions. So there, a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. A wish to come true fills you full of joy. Wishes that come through are like eating from the tree of life. How is this going to be a help to us, to me and to you, right? And we don't have to do this. This is just my way of doing it, right? And three things. Self-motivation. Here's the question is, what can I do to help myself? How can I help myself? No, you can only answer that question by something you actually like do. Does that make sense? And something that brings you, what can I do to help myself? Because sometimes you're waiting for someone to pull you up, and you could be waiting an awful long time. And sometimes they actually can't do it for you anyway. You have got to do it for yourself. So what can I do to help myself? Great question. Would you agree? Great question. I have to ask myself this question all the time. What can I do to help myself? Number two. What can I do that will bring me joy? That's even a deeper question, isn't it? Because now we're getting to the heart. So, you know, I went down to the concert. No, and the Phenomenon Boys were encouraging me, had a great time. Martin Lloyd Jones, the whole lot. But there's other things that bring me joy as well. So what can I do to add a bit of joy? This is kind of looking after yourself in a good sense. Does that make sense? To keep yourself going. So what can I do that will bring me joy? You've got to be able to answer those questions. If you don't know the answer to that question, how in the heck is somebody else going to know? Male or female, they know mind readers in here. They should know. They don't. If you don't know, they can know. Last one, simply this. What can I do to help myself spiritually? Because there are things that I can do. What can I do to help myself? Well, Mick can go to the concert and I can go myself. I need to go myself. No, to every 10 concerts I'm going to, I only get to one, right? You know what I mean? You know, there's about 10 and we plan and when we get there. So it's sparse enough, you know. And we've gone to concerts and I've missed the artists and I've been late. There have been all kinds of yokes. But what can I do to help myself? What can I do to bring joy? Sometimes I can, you know, I can go off walking or go for a sauna in the steam. It brings a certain amount. What can I do to help myself spiritually? I can ask the Lord, and this is what I do. Lord, what do I need to read that will help me in this situation? Closing point, very simple. 2 weeks ago, Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, you know, not every evangelical pastor would agree with this, 5:30 on a Friday afternoon, said, get the book, Pat, head to Quinlan's. Now, for those who don't know, Quinlan's is a library in Clondalkin. It has books. Now, it's not the official library, there are two libraries, but Quinlan's does have books. And I wouldn't say that, right? So, what can I do to help myself? I can go to where? To Quinlan's. Now, it was a one-off. It hasn't been repeated since. Number two, what else can I do to help bring me joy? Well, they have, you know, water. You know, special water to go with the books. A few bottles of that. And things look an awful lot better, you know. It's temporary, admittedly, but it does bring a certain amount of, you know, inner satisfaction, a bit of joy, a bit of pleasure. Nothing wrong with it at all. Not in excess, anyway. And what can I do to help myself spiritually? I brought good old Martin Lloyd Jones. I read my book. I helped myself. And it brought me a certain amount of joy. Does that make sense? No, for different people, it may be a coffee shop. God bless you. You're quicker to fill than myself. You know, or it can be any number of things. But there are things that we need to do while we wait. And only you can do it. And you know how you said to the first, I will do it myself, said the little red hen. And sometimes we just need to do that. Now, when we do that, we are in much benefit to help other people. Because we've got something inside us that is helping us, and the more it helps us, the more we can help others. You can be completely selfish and self-centered, and the Lord will pull it from you. We keep it in balance. That is what you have. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. A longing fulfilled is the tree of life. Do you know how it came to me? The Lord reminded me of a lady who rang me many, many years ago, originally from Donegal. And he reminded me and said, remember what that lady said. And I remembered, and all I could do was smile, because it put hope back in the heart. The Lord said, it is deferred. Deferred means postponed, not cancelled. In the meantime, just get on with it. Help yourself. Put a bit of joy in there and look after yourself spiritually. Finished. Hopefully we won't have to walk in this week, but if we do, you need to figure out for yourself what will make it work. Is that all right? You will be the better of it. Others around you will be better as a result of you being better. Everyone will win with this. Lord, we bring it before you, and Lord, what is of you, let people remember. What was of me and absolutely of no vantage, let them forget it. But Lord, help us in the waiting, especially for longings to be fulfilled. Lord, your timing is always on time, but Lord, it's a different clock to the ones we have. And Lord, we get tired of waiting. We get weary, Lord. We can get disillusioned, disheartened. And Lord, we can walk away or even give up, Lord, if that much can happen to us. But Lord, this day we ask, Lord, that you would continue to renew within us what it is that you have promised us that hasn't yet been delivered. But Lord, that it will come in the right season and in the right time. And all of God's people said,